there's something about a letter as well. It's so intentional. Mm. Like, you can't write a letter, like, sitting on the toilet or on the bus.
You've spoken like someone who's tried.
Me with my giant quill and ink pad trying to balance
trying
my
to find
scroll.
A purchase somewhere.
To whom it may concern, I'm Jen Fricker.
And it's yours truly, Alexi Toliopoulos. This is The Big Film Buffet, a popular culture podcast that will give you your what-to-watch recommendations. And this week, there is a big movie coming out on Netflix that we just need to talk about. It is called The Last Letter from Your Lover.
Dear Mrs. Sterling, when you looked at me,
you're here to write marvelous things about my husband, I believe.
Is that right? In that moment, something changed.
So this new film, The Last Letter from Your Lover, is adapted from a hit novel by Jojo Moyes. It's a best-selling novel that is all in that lovey, romantic genre. And it's getting this big, beautiful film adaptation that's coming out this weekend. It's hotly anticipated.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's very lush. Mm-hmm. Historical period piece. If you're a fan of people kind of lounging in the French Riviera.
Yes.
If you like costumes, mm-hmm. if you love people with like funny accents, old-timey accents, it's got people steamed.
Absolutely. I think there's something about that kind of like escapism that a big romantic film like this, that like you were saying, lives in luxury, those kind of like elegant costumes that really like harkens back to like classic Hollywood or like classic English films as well, that just feels so luxurious. And it's kind of a genre that we don't see every year, really. Something that's like a big, beautiful period piece like this that lets you soak into those feelings.
Yeah, it's definitely one for people who love Atonement. It's kind of on the same vibe. Beautiful, lush, lots of yearning, lots of like, like misunderstandings, things like that.
Yeah, for those that love yearning, there is a movie finally for you.
Absolutely. And I love watching these films because I love pure escapism. So I love watching beautiful people wearing beautiful things in beautiful locations.
Yeah, you're yearning yourself these days, so you need to see it represented on screen.
I'm full-time yearn. I'm an eternal yearner. But it's also like one of those films that talks about like a brief fling, like a romantic affair.
Yeah.
Which I think is such a chic idea in film. Not recommending it in life, but in film.
It really is like that chic idea. So like the kind of summary of what this movie is about, it's kind of these two parallel stories. One is set in the 1960s where Shailene Woodley plays like this aristocratic socialite who's married to a very serious man, if you will. And she has a brief encounter that leads to like this romance that's built through love letters. And then cut to parallel style, the 21st century, where we've got Academy Award nominee Felicity Jones playing a reporter journalist who has uncovered these letters from Days of Yore and finds this romantic story and wants to write a piece, an article, an investigation into like what this like very romantic love affair was and track down these people to find out if they ever found each other again.
Have you ever written a love letter, Alexi?
I would say I've written a lot of texts with a lot of red-hearted emojis.
Yeah.
But I think that I would have only written a love letter in a very innocent schoolboy way back when I was like before I came of any age, when I was just a twinkle in my own eye.
What?
When I was like a young little lovesick boy, when I would have been like a preteen. They would have just been writing letters to some boys and girls, go like, I think you're beautiful and I'm interested in you in friendship and more.
Oh, that's sweet. I think that's really beautiful.
What about you? Have you ever written a love letter, Jen Fricker?
I love a love letter.
Yeah,
frankly.
Of course.
I love a love letter.
One of Genevieve signed off at the end of a letter. My God, that's just romance incarnate.
Yours, G. You know what I mean? Bit of that?
Yeah,
love that.
Yeah.
I just remember when I was a kid, I had a very big crush on my next door neighbor. He was like 2 years older than me. So like in those days, that was huge. You know what I mean? And I remember once for Valentine's Day, I feel like Dolly or like Girlfriend magazine had these cut out like love letters that you could give to people. You just fill in like their name.
What the heck?
Yeah. And so I cut one out and then I ran up the road and I dropped it in his letterbox and I didn't sign it. It was a secret love letter. But then his mom absolutely figured it out and asked me, she's like, oh, were you at our house earlier? And then I was like, nope.
Well, tragically, your crush was the progeny of the greatest handwriting experts Australia has to offer.
I mean, know.
The jig was up almost immediately.
I know, but I love a love letter. I love getting letters. I've got like a bunch of love letters from like an ex that's in one of my books that he gave me.
Whoa. You're blushing, dude. My God, I'm feeling the heat from you right now.
I just think love letters are nice because it's like if something ends, you still have like these very physical memories of when things were good, which can be good or bad because then it's like you can burn them.
Oh, another very cinematic element is burning love letters.
That's it. I'm a very dramatic and extra person. So for me, love letters are perfect.
There's something about those keepsakes that we keep, those like physical mementos of our own past. I think that's like the clever thing that this film does, or like this story does, in tapping into those things with like Felicity Jones being this journalist who uncovers these physical mementos. And there's something so relatable about that, like just finding those things and feeling like that, those hot emotions just kind of like come off of them and you just like want to sink deeper. There's always curiosity there because I think it's like a fairly relatable common thing to have, like, you know, a shoebox full of mementos from like relationships and like times past, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think also like there's something about a letter as well. It's so intentional. Like you can't write a letter like sitting on the toilet or on the bus.
You've spoken like someone who's tried.
Me with my giant quill and ink pad trying to balance
trying
my
to find
scroll.
A purchase somewhere.
No, but like as in like a love letter, like when I think about love letters, I think about sitting down somewhere, really taking the time. If you're writing it by hand as well, like trying to like write really neatly, making sure you don't make any mistakes. Like it is the most intentional thing you can do to show someone like I'm thinking about you and I'm thinking about you to a point where I'm blocking out everything else. It's the one task I'm doing. Then maybe spritz it with some perfume.
Oh, that's part of it too, right? I've definitely spritzed some Lynx deodorant onto a letter, a note that I've given somebody.
Africa.
Yes, make it smell like... Well, actually, I actually bought the chocolate-scented Lynx because I'm quite a, you know, a sweet sweetie pie. I'm like, I got to smell like dessert so people can... The essence of vanilla, if you will.
But yes, there's something very sensual about a letter as well, like the physical aspect of it, holding something in your hands.
Yeah, it's physical, it's emotional.
Yeah, so I feel like it's such rich ground for cinema. And then to add on the top of that, an illicit affair.
Absolutely. And I think like what this really taps into is that very cinematic idea of what I call like the brief encounter, which is that star-crossed lovers feeling that I think lives in reality, like people like you and I and the listeners here as well, like that fantasy that everyone has where you meet someone, perhaps you're on holiday or you just bump into someone, like that meet cute feeling of like bumping into someone, dropping all your things. But then you have that fantasy go like, well, what if I pursued something with this person, or that someone just sticks into your brain. They've got that sticky quality where like I think about that person where it's like a very fast crush. That lightning bolt feeling. And it kind of is that fantasy that everyone has where like you have that feeling of going like, well, what if I pursued this? Or what if for some reason I can't do it? It's like a very rich cinematic ground. Like the original primordial text for this is one of the great epic filmmakers, David Lean, made this film in the 40s called Brief Encounter, very aptly named. It's based on a Noel Coward play. And it's these two people, a woman who's married to a man who is a good man, but she's like not excited by him anymore. And she falls in love with a doctor. And it's like that chance encounter that they have. And then they have this emotional bond that develops and this romance that develops. And then you've got stuff like the Before trilogy, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and then Before Midnight. And In the Mood for Love, the Wong Kar-wai film, that I think like really tap into those ideas of these fantasies that people have every day and then translating them cinematically to be all about those feelings. Like movies like Moonlight as well, where you kind of like get stuck on someone where it could never have really happened, but you've got those feelings that never die. And I think here we've got that so well executed by Shailene Woodley, having like those feelings of longing for this man played by Callum Turner that feel everlasting. It's like that escapism love of like they've met on a holiday where your inhibitions are a little bit more down. So you feel more open to like the world. You're out there exploring. You've got this exploratory, adventurous nature about you. And what is more romantic than that?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like everyone is their freest self on holiday. That's why I always buy whack clothes when I'm on holiday, because I'm like, yeah, this is who I am now. This is who I'll be forever. And then you get back home and you're like, I don't know why I bought this.
I'm never going to wear this cabana shorts in my everyday life.
I'm never going to wear this beaded headpiece. I just feel like that's the seed of the freedom and the idealization you have for yourself on holiday. And then that can grow into idealizing someone you meet on holiday or you meet in a very specific place and then being like, well, this is who we could be forever, which of course you can't, which is part of the reason I think that films like these get us, is that you know on some level it will end, either like the holiday part, the idealization part, or the idea that these people are stepping out of perhaps like their real relationships.
And it's captured so beautifully as well, like that very high-end cinematic quality that this movie has of capturing this beautiful holiday that they take in like the most romantic spots of the Mediterranean, where it feels like this gorgeous luxury, almost like classic 1960s Alfred Hitchcock films. It's interesting to me because this character seems more like a Grace Kelly type, like kind of elegant. I think it brings a more human quality having Shailene Woodley play this character, who often plays like underdogs or more down-to-earth characters. I think it adds this human quality to her where it makes it more relatable than having like the absolute like Hollywood end of like your actual royalties, like Grace Kelly wandering around.
Totally.
And I think it just like makes it feel more real while still having like all this luxury and beauty and sweeping camera movements and period costumes.
Beautiful cars as well.
Oh my God, like Rolls Royces with like little sideboards on them and stuff. Just really like beautiful, like creamy elegance, if you will, that I think captures. And then auditorily as well, like in the music, does something that I think is really interesting that you don't see in these kind of films, because usually all about like soaking into the luxury. But I think that the director here, Augustine Frizzell, has made a great choice by like not just having like the sweeping score, but to also have like this love and excitement be built by like classic like doo-wop music as well, like very modern 1960s music that's in contrast to like the European landscapes and the European accents that we're hearing, but to have like very modern at that time contemporary American pop music with doo-wop, it feels like it's bringing these things into like their modern day and making it feel like exciting in that way instead of just being sweeping.
Yeah, it's that break from tradition. You can see that contrast in Callum Turner's character. He plays Anthony O'Hare. He's this journalist who shows up to the French Riviera to interview Jennifer Sterling. He's wearing these black suits and they look very heavy, and he's very pale and pallid. And they're in this very beautiful, glamorous place. And there's something about that contrast between the uptightness, the darkness of this man, and then how glamorous Shailene Woodley is in this place. She's got this big, yes, beautiful hats, these big flowy dresses and things like that. And they're on these boats and things. And he's still wearing this like very tight,
constrictive clothing.
Exactly, right? And I think in that way, it's that this movie plays on these contrasts a lot. And that's the same with the doo-wop music. It's like, it's actually kind of dangerous. And it's kind of, it's on the verge of something, like something. And we know, obviously, like through being where we are in history and whatever, like what doo-wop means politically and culturally and things like that. And so something is on the cusp of happening.
Yeah, it's that playing with those ideas of like escapism and like their freedom from like, I guess like the oppressiveness of this relationship. Like it's not like evil or anything, but it's just like, it's constrictive, it's boring, it's something that she wants to escape from. It's shown in like the actual language of the film, where when we're in England, it's mainly indoors, it's maybe night, mainly nighttime and like darkness and feels cloudy. And then when they escape to the holiday, it's this romantic land of sunshine, blue skies, the most beautiful crystal blue sea of the Mediterranean Ocean and the Aegean Sea, if you will.
Why, this is your homeland, no?
Yes, the old country for me when I watch this film. And then as well, the two parallel stories, almost like this is, in my language, I would say The Godfather Part 2, where we've got a story set in the present day and a story in the past. It's an interesting way to look at a story like this of these star-crossed lovers, because I think it almost is like a commentary on why we are fascinated with these stories in the first place, to have so much of the onus of the story be put on the Felicity Jones character as this journalist looking back and investigating like this romance. And it's from the perspective of someone who perhaps their own romantic life is, to quote the Friends theme song, DOA. And what I think is like really cool about like the dissection of this movie, if you will, between these two temporal spaces, is Felicity Jones, who we know from Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, being inspired by these love letters that she's reading and slowly forming this kind of cheeky, sweet romance with the archivist who works at the archive, the library, where they're finding all these old love letters, played by Naban Rizwan, who is like an absolute scene stealer in 1917. And I think he's an exciting actor as well for them to kind of be falling in love with. And I think it makes this like interesting two time spaces love story.
Again, like another fantasy of mine is falling in love with someone in a library.
Oh, wow. Because everything's in hushed tones.
It's all just eyes. It's eye contact.
Wow. Jen is desperate for hushed tones and eye contacts.
I love going to the library. I love making eye contact with people in the library. But don't talk to me. I'm reading. It's quite a buzzy cast. You know, Shailene Woodley leading it as Jennifer Sterling. Joe Alwyn as Lawrence Sterling, her husband, who you might know from The Favourite. You might know as being Taylor Swift's lover. The whole album Lover is basically about him.
Really? My God. This is what the stuff I should be looking up at the library is. This is where I'm truly uninformed.
Well, you can't, because that's music and the library has to be quiet.
True, true, true. I'm so used to seeing these movies from old Hollywood. Watching them now with like contemporary actors that are like around my age or younger makes me feel so old. Seeing like these young modern heads popping out of like gorgeous beige, like holiday wear from days of yore, or like beautiful period costumes with like a head that looks like a guy that I know. It's just, yeah, like, oh man, that makes me feel old. Like I'm becoming ancient myself.
I know. It's like, I'm not old enough to be married, let alone be like holidaying on the French Riviera and taking a lover. Like this is crazy.
I'm so used to like these holidays with people like me on a Club Med, but instead it's not.
Lex, if you could choose one or the other, do you prefer movies kind of grounded in a gritty reality or movies that are pure fantasy like The Last Letter from Your Lover?
I need both. if you watch as many movies as I do, you need to have that balance to keep you in check so you don't lose your mind of like some things that'll throw you right down, like a neo-realist take on reality where everything feels real and authentic. And then stuff like From The Last Letter From Your Lover, where you're like, I need to escape. I need to be thrown into a world of fantasy and live out like my own dreams that would never happen, such as traveling overseas and having a beautiful holiday.
Yeah.
But what about yourself? Do you feel like you gravitate towards one or the other?
I think it's like depends on like where I'm at. Like, so for instance, like with lockdown happening at the moment, I just want movies that are fantasy. I don't need gritty reality right now. Mm. But when I was watching this movie, I was thinking about how it's kind of the antithesis to Marriage Story with Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver, which is like just so mumblecore, like hyper real investigation of a marriage breaking down and like where love goes when it ends, like romantically and things like that, and how people change. And it would be really interesting to put them back to back.
Wow, that's a double bill, yeah, that'll give you like a ricochet of the head going between the two. Also, I think like this film kind of finds that balance in itself by having like these two temporal opposite storylines, these two timelines in the 60s where it feels fantasy and then it kind of crashes to reality as well. But then you've also got the more modern day kind of like every day going through the motion story of like an investigator. It's interesting to find that balance where it allows you to live the fantasy because it's got aspects of everyday contemporary modern day reality. I think that's like a nice balance it strikes. I got to give it up to director Augustine Frizzell. This is their second feature film, but they've kind of become like this hot director to watch. She was also the director of a few episodes of Euphoria, including the first episode, which you know that means they are the tone setup. That's what that means when you get that director directing that first episode. They set the tone, they set the style. And so they've been a director to watch for some time now. And I was reading about this, that she is married to another filmmaker, David Lowery, who directed A Ghost Story, Pete's Dragon remake, and the upcoming The Green Knight, starring Dev Patel. And he's a great filmmaker as well. And I was reading about them, how they met years ago and then they reconnected and they started writing letters to each other, as building foundations of their romance was also through letter writing. So I think that's why Augustine Frizzell was like kind of drawn to this book to adapt it to the big screen. And it's interesting to see someone from a modern day who has their romance built on the written word and how they adapt it to the big screen. I think there's something interesting in there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You mentioned that she directed a few episodes of Euphoria because I feel like at the moment that TV show is really held up as like very cutting edge, very modern, very like dictating like what the modern cultural visual aesthetic is. You know what I mean? And then for her to then take that sharp left turn into a full-blown period drama set in England and across like 50, 60 years or whatever, I think is like really cool. It shows that there's so much more to see from her. And this is like quite an exciting effort from Augustine Frizzell. Yeah.
Absolutely. I anticipate very big things from them in the future. So once again, the film is The Last Letter from Your Lover. It is arriving on Netflix this weekend, and we think that you're going to get a real kick out of this film.
I'm going to watch it again, and then once I'm back, you'll see me in the library making love to people with my eyes.
My Lord, she's yearning again.
I'm yearning. I'm on my yearn era, as the kids would say.
Thank you for listening to The Big Film Buffet. If you like what you hear, give us 5 stars on your podcatcher of choice and give us a little review if you can.
This episode was hosted by Alexi Toliopoulos and me, Jen Fricker.
Produced by Michael Sun and Anu Hasbold.
Edited by Jeffrey O'Connor.
And executive produced by Tony Broderick and Melanie Marty.